It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. You may recall last week we sort of had a note about a red-winged blackbird in the Park Rapids area. And I did some research and I found another four or five entries of sightings of red-winged blackbirds over the years in January and February, which is definitely out of season. Just to give you some idea, red-winged blackbirds typically migrate about the same time as the robins. In fact, over the years, usually if I see or hear a robin, I know that the red-winged blackbirds are only a day or so behind, and that can flip-flop. I mean, there are years when my first sighting is a red-winged blackbird, and then robins are a day behind. Either way, they travel in tandem when it comes to that time of year. The thing that drives them is temperature. And when the average temperature for, this is for migration now, this red-winged blackbird that was in Park Rapids has obviously made a decision to stay the winter, and that's that. But normally the migrating birds will come following a 37-degree isotherm. So when the temperature, average temperature begins to approach 37 degrees, that's about the time that you start to see the red-winged blackbirds and the robins. And they should be here, well, the average date for my observations is the 24th of March. And it has run as early as March 6th and as late as April 10th. So there's quite a range there. And it all has to do with the kind of weather we get in the springtime. So the red-winged blackbirds, yeah, they're pretty cool, and they will be along normally the end of March. Along those same lines, along on our KAXE KBXE Season Watch page, I saw pictures of wood ducks and mallards, both of which normally would migrate, but if there's open water about, they will remain here and find enough food to survive the winter. There's an advantage to that. Migration is difficult and dangerous. You're flying over territory you're not familiar with. You don't know where the safe places are. You don't know where the dangerous places are. You don't know where the hawks live. You don't know where the food is. So if you don't have to migrate, you're probably safer, because you know your neighborhood and you're comfortable there. So that said, this past week I saw a number of bald eagles here in the Grand Rapids area, and while traveling to and from Minneapolis, I did see a pair of bald eagles engaged in light skirmishing, I guess I'd have to call it. I don't know if it was courtship. I don't know if it was like a little bit more violent than that. Like, hey, you're crowding my territory here. You need to move on. It wasn't a deadly battle. They simply were flying and made a couple of passes, one at each at the other. And sort of, you know, there was that moment where one flips over and sort of shows its talons to the other and then flips back. And it's kind of like, yeah, you want some of this? Just come right in. I'll be happy to deliver. So I'm not sure what was happening there. But the eagles are definitely another bird that has minimized its migration. Years and years ago, well, of course, when I was a kid, there weren't any eagles, or so few that if you saw one every 4 or 5 years, it was shocking. But nowadays, you see them all the time, and every month of the year. They at one point, they used to kind of travel a little bit south of here, but now many seem to stay the winter in this area. Same problem, you know, migration is dangerous, so it's easier if you can just stay on your home range and know your territory and find your food. So that's how that goes. Typically, the month of February, which is coming up very soon, is the month when eagles will return. It's usually around the third week in February that the eagles will start coming back to their nests in this part of the state. And you might, if you live near an eagle's nest, you might want to pay attention to it for the next month or so and kind of keep an eye out. And who knows, you might see the eagles come back to the nest for the spring. Besides the eagles, February is a good month for skunks. Now, Sarah's official title. I think she must be the director of technology because she handles all my technological needs.
She's the operations director.
Operations. Yes. Well, no wonder I haven't had an operation yet, but I may have to schedule one. But Sarah and her husband were out hiking in the area by their house, which is kind of north and a little bit west of the high school in Grand Rapids, and they have smelled a skunk already. And that's, you know, late January, early February, and then on through February, the male skunks are going to wake up and they're going to want to venture out of their dens and try to find female skunks to breed with. And that will put them, because skunks are sort of vertically challenged, they have really short legs, and walking in deep snow must be a struggle. So they will probably migrate to sidewalks, highways, plowed roads, that sort of place. And naturally, that puts them in some danger of being run over by cars. And when that happens, well, then we all get to smell skunks, so be alert for that. And if you are running into skunks out there, let us know. We love to hear that kind of stuff, especially if you don't make us come and smell it. The deer are pretty active. I was coming back from the cities yesterday, and I was down near the expired town of Ball Bluff, Minnesota. It's on Highway 65, north of Big Sandy Lake and south of Jacobson. And five deer were, I could see a couple of them come up and get on the road. And, oh, they were so happy to be on the road that they didn't really want to get off. I started slowing down, not a lot of traffic. So I started slowing down pretty early. And by the time I got up to where they were, there were five of them. And they kind of sauntered across the road and then sort of begrudgingly got back into the deep snow in the ditch. And you could see that it was well up above their knees, and they were struggling to get around out there. It's a tough winter for deer. I guess the only saving grace is that it's also a tough winter for their predators, the wolves and the like. They're not getting around any better than the deer, because there's not enough of a crust on that snow to hold up a dog, and that makes it pretty darn hard to go. So watch and learn how they interact. The raccoon, I saw a dead raccoon on the highway. So raccoons are not hibernators. They're torporous, and they fall asleep for a week or two or three, and then they wake back up and they go out and they find a little food, and then they do the same thing over again and fall asleep, and then do the same thing, come back and wake up and go out and find a little more food, and that's kind of how it goes for the raccoons during the winter. Down in the cities, I saw a lot of flocks of birds, and mostly starlings, but I did see a flock of robins, and our friend Tim Stalker reported being in the cities maybe a week and a half ago and seeing a flock of about a dozen robins. And I also saw a red-tailed hawk down in the Twin Cities area, just north of the cities. Saw a red-tailed hawk flying along. So those birds have migrated, but only to Minneapolis. And the idea of flying around in a big group like that, 12 or 15 robins together in a group, that gives them that many more eyes to search out food. And this time of year, it's those little decorative apples that are so pretty in the spring when they flower, and so necessary for animals like robins in the winter when the fruits are available for them. Robins and waxwings both enjoy those. A couple of other notes that I came across on the trip down to the cities this weekend and back. Two things really came to my eyes. One, the brush, the willows and the red osier dogwoods are starting to become ever more colorful, And this is the time of year when that begins. They're going to get very bright over the next couple, 3 weeks. By the end of February, they'll be very, very bright colors. And the red osier dogwood, of course, is that plant with the scarlet stems that really jumps out at you. And even now today is really, really bright red. And the willows run the gamut. They go from deep purple to red to kind of orange to a sort of a coral color. Every species seems to have a little different color associated with its new growth. So check that out and enjoy those colors as they intensify over the next few weeks. And the other thing I noticed coming back from the cities that I thought was kind of interesting is that the black ash and the box elder are both, in some cases, both are holding their seeds. So if you see these trees along the highway that have these samaras, these broad-winged seeds hanging from them, they're either probably a box elder or a black ash. And how do you know the difference? Well, they're both opposite branched, so that's a little tough. The box elders tend to be bushier and more less upright in their growth, more spreading, and the branches are thinner, more delicate. The black ash have thicker branches and are more upright, and typically the black ash grow in wetter soils, but this time of year it's really hard to tell whether the soil is wet or not. I guess the thing you might do is look at the species of tree, and if it's an ash, you can assume that down at its base it's probably wet at least part of the year. Final note, just a reiteration of the cougar that has been sighted in the Nebish area north of Bemidji. We have a movie of it on our Season Watch page, KAXE-KBXE Season Watch on Facebook, if you'd like to have a good look at a cougar. I mentioned earlier that they can travel 175 miles in 24 hours if the need to move is on them. And much of the research with radio-collared cougars has seen them travel incredible distances. It seems to me, just offhand, that I recall a cougar that was found or collared in South Dakota and turned up in Kansas, and another one that went east from South Dakota area all the way out to Michigan. And I may not have those dimensions exactly right, but these cougars are moving critters, and they're going to go where the food is, and I suspect that this one in the Nebish area is probably enjoying deer every time that it wants deer, and hopefully it'll keep to its diet of deer. The problem with a cougar is that all of a sudden you're not at the top of the food chain anymore. You're just another link in the food chain, and you want to be really careful that you don't become a broken link. So, you know, if you're in that area or if you see cat tracks on the ground, increase your vigilance, be alert. Nobody wants to be noteworthy or newsworthy in the sense that they were attacked or killed by a cougar. That's not how you want to go out, although it would bring you some fame, I guess. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Hope that you're back here next week to hear it all again. Hope that I'm back here next week to hear it all again.